Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful people, one and all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love can easily slide into devolve and become BS, as in bait and switch. However else you want to assign those two letters, love overcomes that kind of behavior. Love crushes that behavior underneath its feet because love rises to the majesty of the presence and the beauty of God. That's where I'm going to go today, the majesty of love. So before we get there to the topic at hand, I want to remind those of you who are regulars here and introduce to those who have not been here before that we start with a couple of we conclude with a couple of exercises, but we start with one particular exercise. There we go. I was standing on my head and I couldn't see my notes. We're going to get it right here. We're going to start with one exercise called Love's Creed. Then we'll close with a specific couple of exercises that I believe helps to underscore, italicize, embolden, underline, and hold love to a high priority for every one of us. This is a fourth year. Today's broadcast is the fourth year of my doing this broadcast with this topic. One word, love. I heard somebody say the other day that the whole root of Christianity is truth. And I disagree, vociferously, loudly disagree. No, sir. No, ma'am. Truth is not the root. Truth is not the foundation of Christianity. Love is. In fact, Jesus said, all creation, all people will know you are my disciples indeed if you have love for one another. So that's where I've been living here on this broadcast. I'm very proud of this project. Not pride, but proud of. I feel a sense of accomplishment, a sense of purpose with this, and I'm so glad to be here. And I'm so glad any of you would choose to give me a half an hour of your time and life to listen to my meanderings and my teachings and my passion to lead you toward understanding the value of love. I really believe there is no way we could spend enough time to fully and finally figure it all out and unpack it. So to that end, I start this broadcast with Love's Creed. Love's Creed is something I wrote as a New Year's resolution about a decade ago, and it's just evolved and become a creed that I bring here every week, something that you can say out loud, let your mind understand and hear what your mouth is saying, and line your life up, center yourself to these truths. So let me read it to you in total, then I'll come back and I'll read it to you like vows at a wedding altar. Are you ready? Listen to it in total to begin with. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Woo, I'm inspiring myself. I wrote it. I just read it out loud, and I'm inspired to it. I hope you are too. So let me read it to you like vows at a wedding altar. I'll give you a short burst of it, and then you repeat after me because it's important to hear yourself say what you value. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that creed, you could send me an email at randydeanministries, all lowercase, all one word, at gmail.com. randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send you a copy of that that you could put on a 3x5 card, or you could put it on your computer, your device, something that will call you to mind and call you to remember these valuable words for how you get through life. I've always said here that this journey of love is no guarantee that love's going to come back to you when you do the loving. When you are the lover, when you are the lover of all souls, you are not guaranteed people are going to love you back. You're not guaranteed people will treat you right. That's not the point of it. The point of it is to make you right, is to make your soul, your mind, your meditation, your inner world right by being alive to love. So when insults come at you, you remind yourself, well, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. You get what I'm saying? If you could call those words to mind in the face of insult, in the face of bullying, in the face of rudeness and crudeness, Lord knows in this day and time, we are in need of a stable value system internally to hold to beauties when ugly is getting done to death. So that we can rise and shine when others are lowering and pining at us. So there you have it. Okay, let's go to the topic for today, the majesty of love. There is a height and depth and breadth and width, a strength of love that I am determined to inspire you, to challenge you, to go discover it, read about it, meditate on it, sing songs about it, just be an explorer of love. Determine that your life will be the journey. It'll be the long-haul run of love so that you can find the heights and the depths and the widths of what love really is. Don't let old dumb songs define love for you. You know, when I talk about love, people often remind me, well, you know, everybody's got a definition of love. And that may be true, but not everybody's got the right definition. I don't even think I've got the fullest right definition. I think I'm pursuing the best definition I know how. And it's ever expanding. It's ever growing. The point is that when we excuse ourselves, well, you know, everybody think, no, we've got to get out of the excuses and into the living of this, to live love large, to live love strong, to live love right out loud, to love out loud. That's one of our closing exercises here every week, is to say, I love you. Say it to people. Startle people with it. It'll feel weird. Of course it will. You know why? Because we're not saying it often enough. We're not giving it. And I don't mean just as a trite way. I mean, we're not saying it with meaning often enough. It's not being done well throughout our lives. So we are in need, aren't we, of rising to the majesty of love. And that's today's topic. That majesty that recognizes that our humanity has been visited by the divine. When God became Christ, the incarnation is what theologians call that. God kissed humanity with a validation of humanity's value. It fully ordained us in the purpose of the salvation of Christ. It's proof positive of God's evaluation of us, that God would become one of us. There's a great song out there, What If God Were One of Us? Well, the answer to that is God has been one of us, that God became Christ, God in human flesh. The theologians say that he is fully God and fully human. He's not all human and he's not all God, but there is a unity of that divine humanity. And that unity of divine humanity has established God's evaluation of us. We're not just a bunch of fallen collective victims, just, you know, creeping along this earth, kind of scrounge our way through all of our broken sinfulness. No, we're not collective victims of our short-sightedness. We're the collective magnificence, the collective majesty of the image of God. Every last one of us. We are the collective majesty, collective magnificence of the image of God. To that end, you hear me say this every week, I think. God is love. Love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. Let's keep that ever present. I don't have to be a perfect philosopher of love or a perfect definer of love, but if I'm tiptoeing into love on any level, I'm tiptoeing toward God. And the deeper I tiptoe and start striding and walking and running into it, well, then I'm getting deeper and deeper in God because I'm getting deeper and deeper in love. All of creation is the burst of the love of God. That God would be bursting with a creative aura, a creative majesty. That's what we're here about today. The majesty of love, that the majesty of love could not stay stagnant or stationary in eternal past, that the majesty of love in God burst into creation, burst into the universe, burst into the galaxies, the billions of stars, trillions actually of stars, the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, is the evidence of the signature of God's love and the majesty of that love. When we look at the height of a mountain, when we see a Grand Canyon, my wife grew up in West Texas, and I've never seen the Grand Canyon. She has, but there's a little canyon, if you will, in her old neighborhood in West Texas, Palo Duro Canyon. When you go through that canyon, you drive through the majesty of that. You recognize that God's creative power is energized by love. Because every time I look at some beautiful thing, we're in the middle of October now here in Wisconsin, and I look at the colors of the trees, it veritably bursts into my mind the beautiful majesty of love that is expressed in those colors. See, my optic nerve absorbs the color, absorbs the contrasts and the contours of the trees and the changing of the season. When my eye and my optical nerve takes that in, it sends a message to my brain. My brain calculates and absorbs the message that the optic nerve sent, and then my brain sends back to my emotion or even to my voice to say, wow. There's this input of beauty, the input of the signature of God's love. I'm a stargazing guy. I like to go out every so often on a dark, clear night and look up into the sky, and my little 12-year-old boy inside me automatically says, wow, because I know all of that creation is the signature of the majesty of God's love. We are the collective magnificence of the image of God. You know, there's a Christmas carol that says, when God, Christ appeared and the soul felt its worth. Suddenly we absorb into our thinking, our meditation, our internal world becomes this epiphany of our worth, our value, because love is shouting at us. I've been in places in my life where I didn't know that God loved me. I didn't know that people loved me. I was lost in my confusion as a high school kid, my junior high and high school kid. I was absolutely confused and broken and hurting. I there were a lot of reasons for that I won't go into today, but I was not aware of love until late in my high school experience. And when love visited me, like another old song said, love lifted me, raised me up to something so much more grand, so much more worth the living. There's no substituting for the activity, the action, the beauty, the power of the majesty of love, and how it expands us from the top of our head to our soul to the tips of our toes. There is a need in our day and time. You've heard me say this how many times? How many people are we seeing every day, every week, every month, every year of our life? How many people do we routinely brush shoulders with, routinely see in business places or retail stores or wherever it is, a park for a stroll, that have not heard the most powerful, holy, and magical words in the human language, the charmed beauty of somebody saying, "Hey, I love you." You see, I bring that to my life today because as a young teenager, I was hurting for those words to break through my blindness, to break through my sadness, to break through my brokenness. And when it hit me, when it really hit me, it began the evolution of my life changing. It started me down a path of discovery that now these 60 years later, you know, not quite 60, I'm 70. So as a teenager, I got to do the math right, give myself a favor of how old I really am. But I know that it's taken me all these decades to discover and to hold in my arms and my mind and hands that there is love for me in this world, that no matter what else has happened, whatever others have done, the shallow relationships that have come my way that have caused me pain all through my life, I have the opportunity to live in those shallows or go to the deeps. I can live in the wading pool or go swimming in the ocean of love. The majesty of love beckons each of us. It is calling us upward, forward, to go throughout our life with this ringing truth that we are the collective magnificence of the image of God. Every last one of us. No one's exempt from that. And yeah, I know people always come up with the Hitler exclusion. Well, what about Hitler? Hitler was a broken, evil human being. There's no doubt about it. But the love of God was aimed at Hitler no matter what, in spite of his vile and vulgar behavior that sought to exterminate the Jewish people, the millions of people who died at his hands. What did they die from? They died from hate. They died from the hate of that man. Now, why do we need to say, well, does God love Hitler? We need to say it because hate can never overcome the power of love. And no matter whatever we are all and have become, we will never outdo the love of God. So I don't know how God manages that with the one exclusion everybody has. What about Hitler? I know this, that Hitler will never outshine, overshadow the magnificence and the majesty of love. The majesty of love stands towering over any hatred that any human being has ever exercised on the planet. And to that end, it beckons all of us, the rest of us. Let's stop talking about Hitler. Let's talk about Randy. Let's talk about you. You put your name in there. What about you? To that end, the towering majesty of love overshadows failures, overshadows our brutality, overshadows our own hatred and even our bullying toward other folks. There's no hate greater than love, because in the perfect love of God, all that hate is crushed under the weight. And as I said earlier, I don't know how God's going to manage that when it comes all down to the accounting for each one of us. I have no idea. That's a mystery. But I know in that mystery, the majesty of love will be the exclamation point on all of human history. Knowing that that our humanity has been visited by divinity, and that no matter who we are, that we're fully ordained in the purpose of salvation through Christ. It's proof positive of God's evaluation of the human condition. We're not just a bunch of fallen victims of our own short-sightedness. We're the collective magnificence of the image of God. Every last one of us to know that that love holds a majesty that's inviting us, isn't it? It's inviting us to explore. The old saying is, why does the mountain climber climb the mountain? Because it's there. Why do we explore love? Because it's there. Why do we want to see the beautiful fall colors? Because it's there. Why do we want to go to an ocean side and look at the expanse of the ocean? Because it's there. You get my point, right? Love is that expansiveness, that majesty, that magnificence that is beckoning us to view it, to hold it, to meditate it, to cause our plans, dreams, and designs to be locked into it, so that all of our plans, dreams, and designs are expressions of love. When we hear a beautiful song, be reminded that in that song, somewhere, even if the theme of the words isn't love, that beautiful song is the expressive, the artistic expressive beauty of the majesty of God and the majesty of love. When we have caught ourselves in the moment of looking at a baby, you know, all of us, everybody I know has had the experience of looking into the eyes of a tiny brand new baby at some point in their life, and that baby's innocence and beauty is always a beckoning call to recognize, oh, here's the majesty of love. Here's the majesty of love. My precious wife loves the little blurbs on Facebook and on the internet of baby elephants. She's even said repeatedly, oh, I want a baby elephant. Well, why is that? Why would we want something so challenging as a baby elephant? It's like getting a pet anything. Why do we want something so challenging as that? Why would anybody want to housebreak a puppy? Why would anybody want to take in a cat and aim them toward the litter box? You know why? Because we are made of and for love. We're alive with plans, dreams, and designs that are locked into anything and everything that is love. We'll take on the challenge, won't we? Moms and dads will have a baby because of love. And out of love, then, we shape a life. We shape a pet. We shape a human. And yeah, Ginger, we could shape an elephant if we were so blessed to have that opportunity. All right, I got to bring this in for a landing and make sure that you understand that my ramblings and my musings here are to give you a reason, a passion to reach for love, to get out there and lean hard toward love. Lean hard toward love, because when you lean, eventually gravity will pull you in. It'll pull you into its vortex. And that you'll come to a point of recognizing there's a majesty about love. There's a majesty about how I can be loving toward myself and my neighbors and even my enemies. All right. So every No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, we close with a couple of simple exercises. And one is to breathe deeply. Take in a deep breath. I just had my annual physical and the doctor put the stethoscope to my back and said, breathe in and hold it. And I did, and I felt that moment of, I can do this well. I practice this. This is a everyday occurrence for me. So on the count of three, take the deepest breath you can and hold it for 1 second or two. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it and exhale. That's a way to help slow you down, help lower your blood pressure, which my doctor tells me I need to do. It's a way to exercise yourself toward a, a value of peace and serenity. Breathing well. It's the one baseline human event that we are all involved with. Another, I hope, is a baseline event for those of you who join here every week is to find somebody somewhere, look them in the eyes, slow down these three charmed, magical, holy words, and say it with intentionality and authenticity. I'm not asking you to fake it. I'm asking you to be the love you express. Look somebody very carefully in the eyes and say, I love you. It's a life-changing experience. Takes about 5 seconds. I should time that someday. How long does it take to change a life, to start a change, to begin the avalanche of somebody rolling down the hill toward the majesty of love? What would it take? Well, maybe it just simply takes the expressiveness of some of us towards somebody somewhere, that expression that means it all, to say, I love you. I sure appreciate you coming here every week, if you have been, or if you're new. Oh, I am really excited if you're new to join us here. We're here every Saturday and Sunday, and it's every week here on WPCA, and now we've been here 4 years. Yeehaw! I'm excited. And I want to challenge you to go out and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It's time for those of us who are carrying the majesty of love to go out and do something beautiful in an ugly world. Rise and shine, y'all. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.